Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning comes from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he had come out and told the people of Israel what was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again till he went in to speak with him. So far, God's holy word. In the name of Christ, who has revealed to us his everlasting glory, dear fellow redeemed. The history behind wedding veils is quite an interesting one. Some experts have traced it all the way back to ancient Rome, where the bride would walk down the aisle wearing a veil in order to ward off the evil spirits that might be around. Veils can be traced back in Judaism back to the origins. When Jacob was working for Laban, he was promised Rachel as his wife. And yet Laban, wanting to trick Jacob, put Leah under the veil and not Rachel. So now Judaism has a custom of lifting the veil of the bride in order to make sure that they're marrying the right person. Nowadays, the majority of people who wear veils don't do so as much tradition behind it. One possible reason for the usage is to hide the beauty of the bride until she is up at the altar with the groom. The veil that is talked about in our text today has a much greater significance than that of a bride's veil. This veil that Moses used to cover his face was to keep the glory of the Lord that was reflected on his own face from shining too brightly on the people. The Lord had proclaimed to Moses that, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." This is the reason why the people were not able to talk with God face to face. They needed to go through Moses, their mediator. And this is exactly what the law of Moses brings. Namely, a veil that hides God's glory from all those who fail to keep God's law perfectly. But our theme for today shows the other side, a different way to reach God through faith in Christ. Christ has pulled back the veil on God's glory for you. When we see Moses, he is coming down Mount Sinai carrying the two tablets of stone that contain the Ten Commandments. While Moses was up on the mountain, God descended to talk with him. In Exodus 34, verse 5, we read, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." This was a special thing for Moses to experience. The threat that God made about man gazing upon his full glory is true. Anyone would die. And yet God had grace on Moses. He showed him mercy and allowed him to see just a small part of his glory. But the glory that Moses saw was anything but small. It was so great, so pure and holy, that Moses' face shone like the sun just by looking at it. When the people saw the face of Moses, they were afraid, and rightfully so. In Exodus 19, God warned Moses not to let the people even come near the mountain, lest they should die. We read, "And the Lord said to Moses, Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. So if they could not even come near the mountain where the Lord was, how much more frightened would they be to see a reflection of the Lord's glory? And this is where we are introduced to the veil. We reread our text this morning, beginning at verse 31. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with them. It's interesting to note here that Moses did not put the veil on the first time he called the people to hear the words of the Lord. While he related to the people the covenant, including the Ten Commandments, the glory of the Lord was shining on his face. This reminded the people that he was the spokesman of the Lord. What he was telling them came directly from the Lord and was his will. This is what he expected the people of Israel to do. Have no other gods. Take not his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keeping the Passover and other feasts. Honor father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal, lie, covet, etc., etc. This was the law of God. This is what the Israelites had to do in order to hold up their end of the covenant. They were to be perfect, for the Lord their God was perfect. Now that is a terrifying thought. Not only would gazing upon a reflection of God's glory be terrifying, but also to be held to God's own standard of perfection. Well, that is exactly the same standard that you and I are held up to today. God's standards have not changed since the beginning because his glory has not changed. Anyone who keeps the whole law of God is able to look upon that glory face to face without fear, because that person would be perfect. But if that person fails to keep one letter of the law, it does not matter how good they are. They have broken the entire law in God's eyes. The writer of the book of James says exactly this: for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. Now it makes sense as to why Moses had to cover his face with a veil. It is clear from looking throughout the Old Testament that this people were far from perfect. Just a short time ago, they were worshiping a golden calf, calling this piece of metal Jehovah, and this was the God that brought them out of Egypt. They did this even while Moses was talking with God at the top of Mount Sinai. And they would go on to break God's law time and time again. And they were in no position to look upon even a reflection of God's glory. And so how are you doing with this? Are you able to look upon God's glory or even a reflection of it? Measure yourself against the Ten Commandments. Have you placed anything above God? Have you taken his name in vain through various ways? Have you always been excited to come to church or never neglected to do your own personal study through the Word of God? Have you given honor to your parents? Have you never hated, never had sinful lust or sexual immorality? Taken something that did not belong to you? Gossiped about other people or your Christian brother and sister? Or even so much as had a thought about wanting something that you did not have. Now you may be able to check yes on all these points of God's law, at least in terms of not committing any of those actions. But remember, it is God who searches the heart. And that is where all of us fail miserably. While we could put on a good show to those people around us, it is impossible for us to keep God's law, especially in our heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." And so before we even commit an act against God's law, we have already failed to live up to His standard of perfection. And that is why there is a veil over God's glory. No one can look upon the glory of God in this wretched, sinful state and live. The Apostle Paul calls the law a ministry of death in 2 Corinthians. He writes in chapter 3, verse 7, "Now with the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came of such a glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end." Yes, the law reveals the glory of God because it shows the standard of perfection that we so often fail to live up to. And as Paul says, it is a ministry of death because that is all the law can bring. We cannot earn salvation by doing the works of the law, but it reveals that we are heading for death. And so through the law, the glory of God is hidden behind a veil, never to be gazed upon by sinful man. So by the law comes death, and a veil between us and God. Where then is our hope? There is none, save through faith in the one who did keep God's law perfectly, Jesus. The very creator of the law, the one who had the glory that is shown by the law, set that glory aside. He subjugated himself under the law that he created so that he could call himself your substitute. And while Jesus set aside his glory, he did not set aside his perfection. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, Peter says. Work through the list of the law that I mentioned earlier. You will not find a single instance where Jesus failed to keep the law to its fullest extent, both in heart and in action. But Jesus' mission on this earth was not just to live a perfect life, but also to die the perfect death. That is what the law demands, after all. A satisfactory payment for sin must be made. And Jesus made that payment. God says in Hebrews 9:14, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Jesus Christ gave himself up to God in order to purify your conscience. That is what Jesus has done for you. All the times that you and I have failed to live up to God's law, God's forgiveness remains over you because of what Jesus has done. He has rid you of the dead works that the law creates. He has delivered you from the delusion that you can earn your own way to heaven. And he has laid down the pathway to eternal life. Paul calls this the ministry of the Spirit, or the ministry of life, in 2 Corinthians 3. He sets it up in contrast to that ministry that Moses brought in our text this morning. He writes, "Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came of such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed in glory." And this ministry of the Spirit is yours through faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has created this faith in your heart to trust in Jesus as your Savior from all sin, from past, from present, and from future. He has transformed your heart from a dark dwelling place of evil to the throne of God living in you. But more than that, Jesus has pulled back the veil on God's glory. You are not struck down by the law any longer because Jesus has paid for your sins and kept the law perfectly for you. When Jesus walked this earth and lived his perfect life, God sees it as you living the perfect life because Jesus' righteousness covers you. When Jesus suffered on the cross the punishment of our sins, God sees it as you on the cross suffering for your sins because Jesus' blood has washed your sins away. In God's eyes, you are perfect because Jesus is your mediator. He has made you a child of God, perfectly righteous in the Father's eyes. And so what does that mean for you? You can and you have seen God's full glory. No, you may not see it physically until Judgment Day, but you have read and heard the gospel message of sins forgiven through Christ. And that is seeing God's glory. And it is a greater glory than that glory which Moses' face had. The glory on Moses' face faded away, and he likewise died. But the glory that you have is eternal. When Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished," there was immediate effects that occurred. And one such instance was in the temple. In order to divide the Holy of Holies, that place where God's glory resided, from the rest of the people, there was a great and thick veil. This kept people out and unable to look at the glory of God. When Jesus died, that veil was torn in two. It was ripped completely apart. This signified that there was no longer a veil between God and his people. Through faith in Christ, you can approach God face to face with the confidence that you are covered by your Savior's righteousness, and God will not turn you away. Now, the glory that the people saw in Moses' face thousands of years ago must have been an incredible sight. But that glory was tied to the covenant of the law, and that has since faded away. Not the law itself, but salvation through the law. It has faded away because you have a more sure and greater glory, that of your Savior. You share in your Savior's glory even now. That is what it means to have faith. And when that last day comes, you, me, and all believers in Christ will be transformed into that glory, where we will dwell with God face to face for eternity. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.